You're listening to the Pulse of the Eastern Townships on CGMQ 88.9 FM. I'm William Crooks. On today's show, we begin in Sutton, where Mayor Robert Benoit sat down with the Pulse to reflect on his priorities for the year ahead. He spoke about housing pressures, land use planning, and the long-term vision he believes the town must keep in focus, saying, "We need to think at least 20 years down the road." We'll hear more from that conversation in just a moment. Then we turn to the province-wide discussion surrounding the government's effort to entrench a unilateral Quebec constitution. Lawyer and advocate Colin Standish joined us to break down what the proposal means, why it matters, and how it could affect minority language rights. His interview provides a clear, expert explanation of the stakes involved. Both stories are brought to you with support from the Local Journalism Initiative. You're listening to the Pulse of the Eastern Townships on CGMQ 88.9 FM. I'm William Crooks. Today we bring you a conversation with Sutton Mayor Robert Benoit, who discusses his renewed mandate, the strong voter turnout, and the major challenges facing the town, from water shortages and housing pressures to infrastructure demands and climate adaptation. This report is supported by the Local Journalism Initiative. Stay with us. Tell me about the election, Mr. Benoit. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. First thing I think we're very proud in Sutton is the rate of participation. We're almost at 60%. And if you compare that to other municipalities and even the big cities in Montreal, Quebec, and all, they're in the 30s percent. So obviously, this is very significant that people are willing to participate in democratic discussion. So I'm very proud of that. Obviously, very proud of the fact that for the first time in 25 years, that mayor has been reelected. So I guess the message of continuity, stability was very important to citizens. So, and I think there was a lot of people who ran in this election, which is another factor that is very positive, I think, for the maturity of citizenship in Sutton.
What's your background, Mr. Benoit?
My background is I've been vice president at Hydro-Québec. It's managing a lot of departments, especially the sales to the U.S. and the other Canadian provinces, and being involved as the CEO of Hydro-Québec International, developing transmission projects in several parts of the world. So that was my background professionally. Been there for 30 years at Hydro, but before that, in 2015, as citizens of Sutton, we went to court in order to stop a development plan of the mountain, a residential plan of the mountain that was judged illegal by the court, by the appeals court. And imagine if that, because the administration wanted to develop a lot of residential units in the mountain, where there is no important shortage of water. So imagine if those apartments or houses would have been built. Imagine the problem that we would have encountered during the last few years, where we're experiencing a very important shortage of availability of water.
Are there new members on the councillor team?
There is two new members out of seven, which is interesting, because we will tonight is our first council meeting, so we will invite them for the first time to participate in our discussions, and they will bring a new vision, I guess. So we're pretty happy that we have a good council and that we have parity between men and women for councillors. It's three men and three women, so there's parity on that.
What are some of the challenges Sutton is facing at the moment?
A lot of challenges. The first challenge is obviously water, as I mean, because right now we have a moratorium on construction of new houses in the mountains because of water shortage. So we need to find not only a technical solution that we found, but financial assistance, because the solution, the technical solution, is to pump water from the water table in the valley, and to get it to the mountain. But that's at a cost of about $20 million. So imagine that we have a budget of $16 million a year. So we have a problem there. So we need financial assistance. So this is a big challenge. So that's the first challenge. The second challenge is affordability of new houses. We just last week learned that our evaluation, so the price of an average house went from $460,000 to $660,000, meaning $200,000, less or minus, more or less. So $200,000 per house during 3 years, that's huge. So this is good for the owners, obviously, but it's bad for newcomers who want to buy a house in Sutton, especially if you're young, a young couple. It's very difficult to find that. So obviously we need to have a policy where we have to increase affordable houses or apartments, mostly apartments, I think, because houses is going to be a target very difficult to reach. So apartments is more likely. We have currently different projects to have affordable houses. One is on the site of our own land, and it's 24 apartments that could range for 4.5 to 5.5 rooms for about $800. So that's about 50% less than the market price. So that would be a huge project. Now it's in the phase of financing, and this is done by a nonprofit group. Those are interesting projects that we need to develop during the next 4 years. The third challenge, I would say, is Hydro-Québec. Hydro-Québec wants to develop a transmission line with steel towers at about 45 meters high. We think that this is not acceptable for the community here and for most of the towns around us. So we're pushing for a project that would be more acceptable for the environment, for citizens here, at 20 meters towers instead of 45. So that would have a major positive impact in terms of social acceptability for the project. So we're pushing for that, and this is a huge huge issue for most people in this area.
You voted against the budget at the MRC level last year. How have things developed since then?
At the MRC level, I voted against the budget. The increases was about 7 to 10%, which was, I think, unacceptable for cities to pass through those costs for customers, because you were looking at inflation. Right now, if you compare we have. Increased cost by the police of 10% per year at this time. The MRC was in those kind of numbers also, and our increases at the city was about 1 to 2%. So there was a big discrepancy between those costs, and obviously municipalities, we cannot accept those pass through to us given our situation right now and the difficulty of increasing taxes and having social acceptability of our budgets right now. I don't know if if you're talking about infrastructures, we have done several meetings with citizens about our infrastructures, because over the years Sutton has not invested enough on infrastructures. And last year we've done more than $10 million of infrastructure. We have done We have rebuilt our water system and our sewage system on a road, on a main road here. We have asphalted a road. So we're looking at different projects that that are very important to get infrastructure to a level where we have them, because most of our infrastructures are 50 years old and we need to maintain them or rebuild them.
What were the consequences of the budget you voted against, and what's happening now?
The thing that happened, that is happening right now, is that there's new mayors at the MRC. We're in the budget process, and the good thing for Sutton is that our increase, there was no increase for, there will not be any increase for us, but for other municipalities, it's a very high increase still. And I think the MRC has to realize that that municipalities cannot accept those kind of increases, because what I said, you know, it's very difficult to raise taxes and to raise money here, and so we cannot just accept that we are passed through to 7 to 15% increases by either the police or the MRC or whoever is in the government that is cutting back on our revenues at this point in time and not increasing them. So it puts the city in a jeopardy, a very difficult situation to balance our budget, because it's like the government. We cannot get the deficit. We have to balance our books. So it's very difficult to do that in these times.
Anything happening on the environmental front?
Well, as you know, I think I talked to you during the fire at Moeco. We are very concerned about the climate change at this time. And several consequences can arise from climate change. Obviously, that fire was more a human cause. But since what we had this year about the shortage of rainfall, this is a major concern to us. We will have to live with fewer rainfalls. Sometimes maybe this is not happening this year, obviously with the snow. There is a lot of snow this year, but over the years, I mean, the models are predicting that we will have less snow on the mountains, so we will have to adapt. Mount Sutton, the ski area, will have to adapt to that, and they are really doing that by having more snow machines. But this year, obviously, it's a very good year. The start of the year is very good. We'll see for the rest of the year, but we will have to adapt to climate change. That is obvious, and especially the consequence to our water availability. There's probably going to be less water availability. Like this year, we have to truck water from the village to the mountain in order to get a supply of water for people out there. So we'll have to adapt to this new kind of environment.
So it's confirmed that the fire on Mount Echo was human caused.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was people who slept on top of the mountain who did the fire, and the fire got out of hand.
Anything else?
There's a lot of important topics, but I guess I've covered the most important one. The matter of fact, we will be discussing budget over the next several weeks. But I think we'll have good news for people, even though the valuation of their houses will increase tremendously, like in the 40 or 60%, and even more for certain person, because this is an average. But we'll adapt our tax rate we'll lower the tax rate, obviously, in order to offset those kind of increases. And what we're targeting is inflation. The inflation in Quebec, our index is the September rate of inflation, which was 3.3%. That's the target. We'll try, obviously, to get under the 3.3%, but this is our target, depending on the different surprises that may arise in the next coming weeks about contributions that we will need to make to different parties.
That was Sutton Mayor Robert Benoit reflecting on the key issues shaping Sutton's future, including water supply, rising home values, affordable housing, and regional budget pressures. We'll continue to follow developments as his new term unfolds. This report was produced with the support of the Local Journalism Initiative. Thanks for listening to the Pulse of the Eastern Townships on CJMQ 88.9 FM. I'm William Crooks. You're listening to the Pulse of the Eastern Townships on CJMQ 88.9 FM. I'm William Crooks. Today's segment features constitutional lawyer and Townships native Colin Standish, who has recently completed a detailed review of Quebec's proposed provincial constitution. In our conversation, Standish breaks down what he sees as the most significant structural and legal consequences of the bill, from its treatment of rights and freedoms to the way it reshapes the relationship between Quebec and the rest of Canada. He also speaks candidly about how English-speaking communities may be affected and what options remain for Quebecers who are concerned about the direction of the legislation. Here's our discussion from November 17th.
Bill, great to be here today. I'm Colin Standish from Cookshire, and have a cottage in Knowlton, went to BCS, and as well graduated of Bishop's University alongside Queen's, and have law degrees from Laval and Osgoode Hall. Been very focused on language rights, you know, almost my entire life, and helped in the last few years. Have been busy. I founded the Task Force on Linguistic Policy, an interest group challenging Bill 96, so that's sort of Bill 101 2.0, and then that led into founding the Canadian Party of Quebec, a federalist party that presented candidates in the 2022 election. I myself am a lawyer and currently a Crown prosecutor in Manitoba at this point in time.
Walk me through how you analyze the proposed Quebec Constitution, Bill 1.
The Quebec Constitution was just introduced. I have to look up the date now, but just maybe a month ago. Thankfully, had some blowback initially that all opposition parties voted against it, which even with Bill 96, myself and others were shocked when the Liberals and other parties voted for it. But it shows that on first reading, people can actually vote against bad bills. So I was happy to see that there was public debate. However, the public debate was more about Quebecers not being involved in the Constitution. It just being presumably some insiders and cabinet ministers at the CAC. And that's obviously one of the reservations, but really the whole thing is something all Quebecers, English, French, separatists, federalists, we can all be concerned about. So really to analyze the bill, that I have a background in constitutional law, studied that in law school significantly, And looking up the law on the Assemblée Nationale website and analyzing it against the different laws that it purports or does legally amend. I have a framework for constitutional and public law. So yeah, basically just reading the bill, cross-referencing it, and that's how I tackled it initially.
You narrow down your analysis to two or three of the main points?
So there's just quite a few with it. So it's really, you know, I think for people to understand, it's part of the CAC's, it seemed, ambition to carve Quebec out of Canada constitutionally. And it's quite brilliant legally in some ways that instead of going for a big show with referendum, even though the referendums weren't legally legitimate in 80 and 95, it really is slicing and dicing Quebec out of Canada, and it really is shocking what they're getting away with. So that's the first big thing, is that they're carving Quebec out of the rest of Canada. There's unilateral constitutional amendments saying Quebec's a nation, can basically do what it wants, etc. That's a big concern, certainly for Federalist Quebecers, but I think for all Quebecers, that there's really no legal legitimacy to this. Secondly, is that they've really restructured the Quebec's, they're trying to restructure Quebec's, how should I put this, understanding of law, that basically Western law and Western human rights starts with the individual and works out from there. There are certain collective rights that do exist in some ways. However, it really is first the individual, right? So, but this is all about the Quebec nation, solely defined by French, secularism, et cetera. And that is the starting point for our understanding of our human rights and freedom. So that really is sort of like turning a triangle on its head and starting with the individual and turning it into the an arbitrary definition of the Quebec nation being a starting point for our rights and freedoms and everything in Quebec, even agreements with the rest of Canada are through that prism. So it's really changing the way our society operates. and as well restructuring our government, that they want to rename the lieutenant governor, the officer of Quebec, the executive council, that we think of the government as being a premier and ministers and the legislature. But really, it's the lieutenant governor alongside the executive council. At the federal level, it's the governor general with the Treaty Council. We don't talk about it in that way, but that really is the way our government is formally structured. So they're purporting to amend the Constitution to change lieutenant governor, and this is something that requires a formal constitutional amendment. Thankfully, it's very unconstitutional, and I hope people in the government, of the federal government, will stand up against it. So it's a big deal, the restructuring the way government works as well.
How do you think the rest of Canada will react to this?
If it's like Bill 96 and other laws, it'll be a whimper, unfortunately. So we've seen Alberta, often laud what Quebec's done. You've seen Saskatchewan. It's less talked about, but Saskatchewan has actually passed unconstitutional constitutional amendments saying Saskatchewan has certain rights in the Canadian Constitution that were not passed in a legitimate way. So I don't think there's going to be much blowback in the provinces. The federal government, I certainly hope they do something, but we saw they had and that's the Liberal Party of Canada that is in power now. They've done really nothing. They sort of sometimes say the right things in newspapers and on doorsteps, but when it comes to legislation or actually standing up, they've failed miserably. So I don't. And as well, the Liberal Party of Canada won the most seats in Quebec in the last federal election, so I don't think you're going to see a strong response. And Dr. Carney, he is very focused on the economy. He's a central banker. I think I don't foresee there being a strong reaction from the federal government. There should be, but there won't be. I don't predict there will be, unfortunately.
Can these measures be challenged in court?
Yes. So that's another weird part of this law is actually there's several parts of it that actually limit your challenge laws in court. So this law and any law, so there's the notwithstanding clause that is often talked about, but they're actually introducing a Quebec Nation clause that if they say a bill is important to the Quebec Nation, you can't challenge it in court or it makes it hard to. So, and there's actually limitations on what judges are supposed to do. It's really strange. You don't see that in many laws where they basically say the courts have to acquiesce to everything we do in the legislature. Though legislatures like that, the politicians want their laws to go through and don't like them to be struck down. But there's very strange things in this bill that I don't think have been talked about, that are really unconstitutional and illegal and just plain bizarre, of telling judges what they can do. And as well, there's going to be a new Quebec Nation notwithstanding clause that I don't think anyone's really talked about or noticed. It's very strange. So if you are someone who has reservations about it, speak up and speak out, inform yourself, take a look at the law. I plan on publishing articles and briefs. The task force and the Canadian Party will be publishing articles and briefs in the near future. Tell your MP and tell your MNA that you don't like this law. And if you tell them that, like literally send a voicemail, send an email, send a letter. You can send letters for free to your MP. Say, hey, stand up to about what's going on in Quebec. They will listen. They will probably get back to you. And if you send 10 of those, send 5 of those, if you get your friends to do that, people will start to listen. A very important document as well. That it's also, I think it reveals that CAC is being separatist in its inclinations. There's a part of it that says any referendum with 50% plus one is enough to be positive, which actually in 80 and 95 are always talked about it. There's never actually anything in law that has said that. So in a referendum as well, even if you have 100% of people saying yes, it doesn't actually usurp the powers of the National Assembly, and the National Assembly can't usurp the powers of the federal government. But they really are setting the chessboard for a third referendum that could be legally legitimate, at least in some people's eyes. So it's a scary document, and separatist. It's very strange to see that in a CAC document that pretends they aren't. This at least reveals them for what they are.
To what extent is the CAC's movement on this related to their low polling?
We'll see. This is I think this has long been planned. I think they've had there's Guillaume Rousseau, who's actually at the University of Sherbrooke, and might be of interest to speak to because he's an Eastern Townships law professor, but he really is quite dedicated to carving Quebec out of the rest of Canada. So they've been planning this for a while. It was actually the Liberal Party. So it's important for people to realize the Liberal Party of Quebec actually proposed the Quebec Constitution. They were the ones saying, hey, this is a great idea. I think they were first out of the gate. So we need to remember this is our entire political elite saying, hey, this is a good idea, when really it's about taking Quebec out of Canada, and that includes the Liberal Party of Quebec, which has never stood up to separatist and nationalist inclinations in the ways they should have, and in fact our Quebec Nationalist Party. So that's just one thing I wanted to add, is that that we really need to be concerned about this, and I think it's partly reaction to the polls that they want to sort of out separatist the separatists, but I think this is part and parcel of the ideology of the CAQ and other parties.
If this goes through, what would the effect be on the English-speaking community of Quebec?
Yeah, that's a great question. So there is one mention of the English-speaking community in the Quebec Constitution. It says English language institutions will be protected in one clause, and that's it. Not English-speaking individuals, no rights to English. And this really is about making French the sole permanent of the Quebec identity, the sole language of government, even though, as much as we say Quebec is officially French, I actually disagree with that every law, every regulation with courts and the assembly have to function equally in English and French for laws to be valid. So, for example, if Bill 96 or even Bill 101 was passed solely in French, it would not be a legal law, and the Supreme Court has ruled on this. So I think English speakers need to be deeply concerned about this. This is about taking away, basically, your rights and freedoms are interpreted through a Quebec nation solely defined by French, determines all your basic rights and freedoms. I think you better be worried.
That was constitutional lawyer Colin Standish offering his expert analysis of the CAQ government's proposed constitution and explaining why he believes the document carries major implications for governance, rights, and Quebec's position within the Canadian Federation. Standish also emphasized that Quebecers who are concerned about these changes still have avenues to speak up and engage directly with their elected officials. This segment is produced with the support of the Local Journalism Initiative. I'm William Crooks, and you're listening to CJMQ 88.9 FM. That was today's edition of the Pulse of the Eastern Townships on CJMQ 88.9 FM. We heard from Sutton Mayor Robert Benoit as he outlined his priorities for the coming years, including responsible development and long-term planning. And we heard from constitutional advocate Colin Standish, who offered a detailed look at why the proposed Quebec Constitution deserves careful public attention. If you missed any part of these interviews, you can find the full stories on the CJMQ website online. We'll continue to follow these issues closely, on the ground in your communities and across the province. I'm William Crooks, thanks for listening, and as always, keep your finger on the pulse.